for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
This is a Monday afternoon service, July the 4th, 1988, tape number 6. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene and Arlene Moody will be the teachers for the afternoon. Should this tape prove for any reason to be defective, please explain in return for replacement. Thank you.
We'll turn the rest of the afternoon to the Moody's, and I don't know who's going to do what, but we'll let them decide that. Gene and Arlene.
All right, I sure will. Praise God. I just want to say a few words before Arlene comes. She's going to teach today, and then I'll have mass deliverance. And I'd just like to say that we're happy to be here for the battle. And we came to set the captives free. Are you glad that you're a warrior for the Lord? I am. We're warriors for the Lord. I'd like to say I'll keep encouraging people to enter into the deliverance ministry today. I train the men to be deliverance ministers. Really, it is amazing to me how well people got ministry and how well the deliverance ministers did. And we get a patient, and we get a minister, and a new patient, a new minister, and we got some amazing deliverance. So, men, I encourage you. I just like to tell you that there's tremendous fringe benefits to being in deliverance. And as Early and I have ministered to, literally thousands of people through the years, God has ministered us. We have received tremendous help from the Lord. Both Early and I, and her daughter before she got married, and now our daughter, our son-in-law, and our grandchild. We're proud grandparents, praise God. We're learning how to be grandparents. This is a new experience for me. And I just, Friday night, I was going to wrap up my paperwork and get up about 4 o'clock Saturday morning and come up here. But we had an emergency. Our daughter, she indicated to my wife that she needed ministry. So we said, well, we'll go out to eat with them. And then after we got finished eating, we'll minister to her. And she had some problems of female problems. And she had some fear then. And praise God. You know, we got to minister to our daughter. And to me, this is a tremendous fringe benefit. And Early and I, we've been ministering. I ministered Early and she ministers to me. And there are tremendous fringe benefits. Just think, if you could just understand how much my family has been helped through the deliverance ministry through the years, you would understand what I'm telling you. But just take my word for it. So there's tremendous fringe benefits in being in deliverance. And God will help you as you help others. And it's been proven us over and over again. And I had a real interesting experience Saturday I want to tell you about. I said, well, okay, I couldn't do it Friday night. So Saturday morning, I said, well, get all my paperwork done and do the things that I couldn't do. I was running about a day late. And so my computer wouldn't work. And I talked to Kevin about it, and you computer buffs will understand. My monitor, my screen, my TV set, all it'd do is give me a dark blue color, and I couldn't read it. So I did the other things that I had to do, things that didn't require the computer. And I had a bunch of invoices I was going to send out before I came up. And so it just wouldn't do anything for me. I'd play with it, and it still turned dark blue. So I went in, I told Early, and I said, it looks like God's trying to tell us something here. He's trying to tell us to go and get on up to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And praise God. You know, I said that. I walked back in my study, and immediately the computer worked fine. Now, you can take that either way. You can say that that was a confirmation of what the Lord had just told me. Or you can say that that was Satan that decided that he better turn that computer loose so we'd stay down there and work and not come up here. So anyway, we came on up. We got here about 11:30. And immediately I could see, you know, praise God, I could see the people, you know, people up here, they're just crying out for help. You know, their hearts are breaking. They have tremendous needs. And immediately, you know, as I walked in the door, I could just see the people. I said, well, praise God, you know, the timing was right. We should have been here when we got here. And I just thank God, you know, for what he's going to do at this camp meeting. Now, thank God for the people who are going to be here. And you need to be thankful, too. You need to have an attitude of gratitude for what God is going to do for you.
My own?
Yeah.
Well, this is one I've put off for a long time. And it's a very personal thing. And you'll find that it's very personal to you, too. And it's one of those things where everybody has it sometimes. And some people have it all the time. And so it's common to all of us. So you won't have to look at the other person to see how he's doing. You can just work on yourself. Okay, first thing I want to do is to ask the Lord to be with us and help us. Since this is a personal subject, and since it has a way of covering itself up and masquerading as other things, I think we need to ask the Lord to help us. So let's just pray together. You pray, and I'll pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, we're going to talk about spirits of self, and we want to understand about these spirits. We want to understand the idolatry associated with this. So now, Lord, we take authority over all the spirits that are associated with the self spirits who would interfere with our understanding. Lord, we ask you to send us wisdom as we attack our own problems. Thank you, Father, for sending the sevenfold spirit of the Lord. This includes the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and strength, knowledge, reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And Lord, we need these spirits to help us as we go through this today. Grant us the ability to look beyond what we do and see our motives and our actions, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'd also cleanse us and instruct us in your way. We all now take authority over Satan and all of his power against us, and we bind it now in Jesus' name. We also bind the strong men over each one of us and over our homes and over this place. We bind every demon spirit arrayed around us and in us in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you would send warring angels, our personal angels, and the spirits of God that are needed to help us, Lord. Father, we are so grateful for the provisions that you've made for our life and for our freedom. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us now in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you just a few scriptures that if you'd like, you can write them down. All right, Mark 12. 29-31. Mark 12, 29-31. Matthew 22:34-40. Matthew 22:34-40. Exodus 21:1-17. Isaiah 11:2. Galatians 5:19-26. You know, since I got delivered, well, the first deliverance, I'm still getting delivered, and I hope I get some more today. But after I got delivered, there were so many people telling me that deliverance was not so, and that Gene and I had gotten into the wrong camp, and that I couldn't have been a Christian, and all sorts of confusing things. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to get more freedom and to stay free. And Lord, I don't know how, and so you'll have to help me. And I would pray and ask him to help me. And one of the things that he showed me was that I did not live biblical principles daily in my life. That sometimes under pressure, I wouldn't do the right thing. And that I didn't know why I didn't do it. Because I really wasn't that afraid of people. But I did it and didn't know why. Did not remember or know that I had been an abused child, and when you are an abused child, you find yourself doing things you don't understand. And so I asked the Lord to show me the principle behind that. What was I doing? Why was I doing these things? And he showed me that because I was trying to protect myself, I was trying to protect me. I had allowed a lot of spirits of self and selfishness to rise up in my life. He also showed me that a lot of self, it showed out by having spiritual fantasy. And I want to show you one of my spiritual fantasies. After we got the baptism, I wanted to go out, and of course, you know, save the world, two or three times over. And I wanted to be the great Arlene. And since I liked children so much, I started out trying to help children. And what I would do is I would go down to the retarded school and I would work there with retarded children 2 days or so a week. And one day when I was down there, the Lord began to kind of convict me. I had children of my own, and they needed me. But I was too interested in these other things. And so then after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it got worse. I was going to do more and more things for other people, other people's children. And I didn't know that this was rooted in the fact that I never felt that I was okay as a person. And so I took on these spirits that wanted to be self-raised up, you know, self-exalted. So one night when after Bonnie died, we had the baptism and deliverance had come to us, I had a little dream. I guess it was a dream. I thought I was awake. I really sometimes don't understand what happens. But anyway, I had this vision. And in this vision, or dream...
Explain what you meant by
the
remark Byron died.
All right, we have a son that died when he was 12 years old. And a lot of things were wrong with my life, internally and externally, but they never got the upper hand on me. Badly. But after he died, there was so much more pressure on me with grief added to that, that things that were wrong with me began to get more obvious. Even I couldn't deny it anymore. So as a result of that, we went on into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I got active in helping other people. But I was neglecting my daughter because she had a lot of problems. She was rebelling. And so I found comfort in helping other people's children. This dream came to me, or this little vision. And I remembered that in this little vision, I was standing there and I had this whole array of children behind me. And God was sitting in front of me on his throne. Of course, I didn't see him, you see, I just saw myself, but I was relating to him. And he asked me, "Who's Marie?" I looked back over the crowd, and of course, Marie was not in this group. I saw Marie come around the edges of the crowd, and she came up to God, and she looked at him, and he looked at her, and he pointed the other way. And so I was really upset at that point, you know, because he was sentencing her to hell. And then here I've been standing there so proud because I had these children with me. And the Lord told me at that time, he said, "I gave you one responsibility. I gave her to you. I didn't require anything of you concerning these other children. But I did require everything at your hand concerning your daughter." And this upset me a lot. And I began to examine the motives behind what I was doing. At that time, I was seeing in my daughter 2 Timothy 3:1-7. I didn't see it in myself, but I did see it in me. And so the Lord began to deal with me about examining myself. And I started with the first book of the Bible, and I began to read. And I discovered some things. I guess you could entitle this little discovery, "The Art of Being Selfish," or "The Art of Teaching Selfishness." I got to Exodus, the 30th chapter, and you know, when the Lord deals with you, sometimes you see something in there related to you that maybe no one else saw. But this is what the Lord showed me. And as we go down through these verses in Exodus 20, think of what is the driving spirit behind every one of these. Second verse, "I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before or beside me. You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship it, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or they was in the water under the earth. I said, I'm fine there. I've done that. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third or fourth generation of those who hate me. And I thought, oh boy, you know, that's great. This doesn't bother me at all, because I don't do those things. And I started to pray and was telling the Lord how grateful I was to him that I didn't do those things, and how I wanted him to sit on the throne of my life. And, you know, I thought God would sit up there and say, oh, this is such a beautiful prayer from such a sweet little Christian girl down there. Instead, he said, we can't both sit on the throne of your life. And I looked back down here, and all of a sudden it hit me. I had made of myself a God to worship. And so I was in adultery. And here's some of the ways this showed. I made and designed my own clothes because I didn't want to wear anything anyone else did. I thought, you know, I do this because it saves money. But the real reason was that I wanted to stand out in the crowd as a fashion person. I decorated my house for the same reason. And I realized there were a lot of gods around me motivated by self. By showing mercy and steadfast love to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments, you shall not use or repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain, that is, lightly or frivolously, in false affirmations or profanity. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. How many of you say, oh, I used to say that. Oh, my, that is profanity. And God convicted me of that, and he said, you say that, and it's motivated by self. You think when you say that, it gives you more power. Earnestly remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, withdrawn from common employment and dedicated to God. I used to do things on Sunday to get the ups on the week. You know, you do it on Sunday and then you're ahead on Monday. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. I didn't really observe that. And it was motivated by the fact that I wanted myself to get ahead. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of your Lord. Lord your God, in it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your manservant, or your maidservant, your domestic animals, or the sojourner within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the seas and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. So I should have rested, and I should have looked in his word, and I should have thought about him. But I didn't. I thought about self. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or set it apart for his purposes. Regard, treat with honor, due obedience and courtesy your father and your mother, so your days, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God giveth you. And I realized that I did not quite honor my mother and father the way I should, and one of the reasons was I was in competition with them. I wanted to do better and be better than my parents. As I put my parents down, I felt better. Really, when I put them down, it just lowered me that much lower. You shall not commit murder. I didn't commit murder, but I sure could hate you, and I sure could get revenge on you. And why I did that was another one of my selfish things. If you hurt me, then you deserve to be hurt back. You shall not commit adultery. Self is under there too. You shall not steal. Why would you steal for self? You shall not witness falsely against your neighbor. I used to pick everything bad about my neighbor I saw and make sure it was broadcast. Why, make me look better. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, or his manservant or maidservant, or his ox or his donkey or anything that your neighbor's has. I thought I got around that by saying, I'm so glad he has it, and I'd like one like it. God was a fool. What is the big motive behind everything there? What motivates you to do these things? What motivates you to adultery, murder, stealing, and lying? It motivates from the whatever you perceive as your weakness of yourself. When you steal, it's because you want to get more for what? Self. When you commit murder, it's to get somebody out of the way because of yourself. If you work on Sunday when you shouldn't, it's usually because you want to gain for what? Self. At the same time, I was in the New Testament, and I ran across another set of scriptures. 2 Timothy 3. And see, this is where I thought my daughter was. Never thought that was me. Starting with verse 2. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. You know, I didn't realize how much I love myself. You know, I married Gene, and he had good jobs, and he moved us around the country, and we had fine homes. And it wasn't until I came face to face with this activity that went on at this time that I realized that when Gene put me in a little house on a little lot, I didn't like it. And then is when I had to face up to the fact that I had felt better about self as long as I had all the trappings. I also realized this, that in verse 1 it says, understand this. Now that means that I don't have to agree with it and I don't have to like it, but there's nothing I can do to change it. This is the way it is. In the last days, there will set in perilous time of great distress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Is there anybody here who thinks today is easy? And what's going on with the youth is easy to bear? But see, it isn't. It's very hard to bear. But we complain about how selfish the young people are. Have you ever done it? I have. And do you know that when children come in the world, they don't know a thing? Where do you think they learn their selfishness? From me, and from Dad, and from the people around them. People will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Now, why do you think we have abortion today? Why would mothers and fathers go have an abortion? Most of the time, it's because of utter self-centeredness. And this is the demon behind this activity. Sex out of marriage without responsibility. Is that a selfish act? Utterly self-centered. Drunkenness and drugs. When you enter into those activities, are you considering your own responsibility or your own body? No, it's totally selfish. Robbery, murder, mental, physical, and sexual abuse of others, homosexuality, betrayal of the nation. There are so many things that are wrong today that go back to the selfishness in the heart of the people. Did you know that selfishness is also a lack of self-control? And did you know that if you have the Holy Spirit, you should have self-control? You know, the Lord just took me through all this, pointing out to me how weak and how little of the Spirit of God was really in me. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. I never thought that was in me until I didn't have it. The Bible tells us that God gives blessings to His beloved in His beloved sleep. That's in Psalms 127, 2. Joshua 1, 6 through 8 gives a real formula for good success. People completely wear themselves out trying to obtain money and things and trappings to feed themselves and lose sight of their children. They forget to teach their children. Children go into perverted sex, suicide, And parents never have awake to the fact that the child needs love and attention and guidance and teaching. Today, around us, I see a lot of parents who don't wake up until the child is dead. For the first time then, they realize maybe something could have been done. I should have seen what was going on. Our children are just following the examples that we've set for them. We have to have our Liz Claiborne blouses and our main brand jeans, and so our children want them too, because we have set the example of indulgence for them, indulgence for sex. We see the young people dressing, and, you know, have a friend who works for one of the large department stores in Baton Rouge, and they were showing a film of what would be in style from 88 to 90. And when it came on the screen, she said, it said, what's in? Everything occult. And then they showed the ladies with their hair wild, and the young men with their hair sticking up on their head, and with their strange-looking clothes. Well, you know, some of us older people, we would cut it off by saying, no, that's not for us. But if you taught young people to indulge themselves and that to be accepted in the crowd, they have to be like the others, they won't cut it off because they won't be able. The Lord showed me that overestimation of self, negative or positive, was not right. Now, how can you overestimate yourself negatively? Nobody likes me. I'm not good enough. I'm inferior. That's dwelling too much on yourself in the negative. How do you overrate yourself positively? Oh, I'm the greatest, and all that goes along with that. Proud and contemptuous and arrogant boasters. Have you ever noticed who's doing the bragging and the boasting? It's always the person who wants to cover up some failures. We just had a big incident in our town where this was very obvious. I mean, we should have all seen it. These people put down other people to try to lift themselves up. Most people who boast, even a little, are suffering from rejection. They will be abusive, blasphemous, and scoffers. These days, it's not uncommon to hear people scoff at God, make fun of Satan. Anything that's good or honest or pure or true or correct, the children are following what we've taught them. Disobedience to parents. You know, when you consider how far down on the list this is, and we think disobedient children is the worst thing, but you know, if you look back up at the top of the list, it says, people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. If you have a rebellious child, you need to look and see and really examine yourself, asking God to show you where you've been selfish and self-centered. Because the Lord showed me that although I thought some of the things I was doing, like making my own clothes and decorating my house, was real noble. And he showed me how they were motivated by selfishness. When you consider the example set by most of the parents in their Christian life, now we're not talking about people on the street. We're talking about us and we. It's not much wonder that the children scoff at what we say and what we do about the Lord. We talk real Christian when we're at church, and before we get home, we've had a family fight. Or we've been yelling and screaming at the children. Our mom and dad is pulling each other's hair out. Most Christians don't really care that much about obeying God. We found this to be true in the spiritual Christian life, sometimes even more so than in the traditional life. I've sometimes asked people, what do you think the principles of life are that God has laid down? No one ever thinks about that too much. It's like a shock when you ask someone that. Are you living by biblical principles? Well, yeah. And then when you ask them, well, what are your principles? They don't have any. And you know, a Christian without principle is a Christian you can't trust. And then the question comes up, is he really Christian? Very few Christian daddies spend any time at all in the Bible with their children. Very few Christian mothers spend much time teaching the children. You know, we use the Bible to babble them, but we don't really teach them. And the children that we worked with, when disobedience was a big problem and the parents wanted the children delivered, we refused. Because parents need to be dealt with first. We're the ones who generally open our children up to demons. And so don't take your child for deliverance unless you're willing to go and be honest and face up to yourself. I'm grateful. You know, there's a little section in the manual back there, and it's about God telling me about ingratitude. And if you'd asked me earlier, are you grateful? I would have said, sure. Yeah, I'm grateful. I really am. You know, I'd say thank you, Lord, for this and thank you, Lord, for that. But the essence of gratitude was not down inside of me. And my first reaction to things that I didn't like was usually anger. And the Lord said that I should be grateful for both good and bad, all that comes to me in my life. Our children see us like we really are. Your teenager's not fool. Your 10-year-old isn't fool. He sees you just like you are. And usually when he tells you about it, you get mad. That's if you're like me. If we don't live a life that's motivated from gratitude inside, our children won't either, because they learn by osmosis. Isn't that strange? It seeps into them. They don't always listen to what we say, and they don't always do what we say, but it gets in them anyway. What we really do gets in them. Profane. Unholy. You know, in Christian homes, it's amazing how much unholiness the child is exposed to. Saturday morning cartoons, that's a great course for teaching your child the occult. One of the best places in the world to let him learn about the occult. Profane. You know, a lot of people will spank their children for lying when they've been lying themselves. And I'll give you an example of that. I told my daughter there was a Santa Claus. I told her there was a tooth fairy. What else did I tell her? Easter bunny. Probably the other things, but, oh, yeah, Valentine's Day. I told her all about these things. And, you know, usually when you tell a child, well, you know, really there wasn't. This was just childish stuff, and we were just doing it for fun. But my daughter didn't take it that way. She quit talking to me. And when we found out what was wrong, because I had to send her brother because she wouldn't talk to me. She'd just hang her head and leave the room when I went in. And he told me, he said, Marie says you lie to us. You lie to us. And you spank us for lying. And I said, I never lied to you all. I never did. He says, Mama, what about Santa Claus? What about the tooth fairy? What about the Easter Bunny? And I'm telling you, it cut through me like a knife. I had lied to them, and I wondered why they were lying back to me. They were just following my example. They will be without human affections, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting to no truth or appeasement. Have you ever tried to talk to a young person that first, you know, you've messed him up and he's gotten on rock music and now you're trying to straighten him out? There is no truth and no truth or appeasement that you can work up with that person. There's so much child abuse today, and not all of it's beating, not all of it's sexual, but a lot of it is mental. There's overindulgence. There's appeasement, parents submitting to children by begging the children to behave. I was in the grocery store and I saw a young mother pleading with her child to put something back on the counter and leave it there. That was a little disgusting. But the most disgusting thing was when I saw a father pleading with his children to leave the candy in the candy place. When you submit yourself to your child in that manner, he's not going to have the affection or the respect toward you that he should have. The Lord also told me if I had the proper affection for my child, I would teach it correctly. And I wouldn't go running around trying to make it so happy as I would to teach it truth. There's not much human affection among a lot of family members today. When I was teaching in school, a lot of times children say to me, I hate my brother or sister, and the reason was always for some selfish thing. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. And I could have sworn I read that in today's paper. Is that what we see around us so much today? And it's not all outside in the unsaved people's homes. It's in our homes a lot of times. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, one ingredient of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. When we slander or false accuse or make trouble, it's usually motivated by something we're trying to do related to ourselves. Verse 4 and 5 tells us all the consequences of the way we've raised our children. It's not just us. What about the way you were raised and I was raised? You know, I went blindly on and raised my children somewhat the way I was raised. Didn't take my Bible, didn't read it, didn't get serious about it until my daughter was about 13. It's a little late, isn't it? If there is any change for the better, the moms and dads that are living today are going to have to learn and do. If you learn the Bible and obey what it says, then you can change things. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God. Many times today we'll turn from something that would show our love for God and turn to something that shows our love for the world. You know, I can't remember when I was a child hearing so much about people who betrayed the nation or people who betrayed one another, but it's all over the place today. The past few years, our nation has seen a great rise in the number of traitors. But that's not the worst, or maybe that's not any worse than the betrayal in the home. Divorces, separation, illegitimacy, those are betrayals, treacheries that have been committed against children. I taught school, and there are many in my classes who were like, these are Christian families. And many in these families were on second and third mamas or daddies. And the children do not escape from the attacks of Satan. No matter how civil or how much you try to cover up, if there's been a divorce or sexual abuse or mental abuse, the child always has emotional problems. A lot of Christians today say that the Bible is not relevant for today, but it is. In fact, when I read Exodus 20, 17, or whatever it was we read, the Lord showed me disobedience of those principles of God in the conduct of your self-life results in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. The God of today is to please your senses. Vain amusements are also gods to us today. Most fathers would rather watch a sports show on TV than take Proverbs and teach their child. In Romans 1, we see the descent into decay of people who love sensual pleasures, vain amusements, and are filled with self-conceit. Even a really stupid person can see that there is not much respect for God in the world today, and there's not as much as there should be in the church. Verse 5, for although they hold a form of piety or true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it, their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. That part of that verse, the Lord showed me how pitiful and how sad was my Christian life. I talked like it, I went to church and acted like it, but when I was by myself or when someone crossed me, my Christianity just went right out the window. Avoid all such people. You know, God tells us to turn away from people that act like that. And you know, I think how sad it would be to be totally cut off. Such people fill the church house today. I mean, everybody in the church was pretty much like me. They proved by their attitude that they would rather be somewhere else. They sleep through a dead service given by a defeated pastor. That's sad, isn't it? If anyone gets into touch with God at the house of God today and begins to desire to know God, the others in the church won't rid of him. True seekers of God look for his actions in their lives and the lives of others. They welcome his supernatural power in their life and in the life of the church. If you're one of those people who do not like for God to move or for the church to have any excitement or come alive, you might be like Cain in Genesis 3, 1 through 24. And you know, when you look at Cain, he's a picture of a lot of us. You know, I thought that God would have to accept me into heaven just because I went to church and dressed up and acted Christian on Sunday morning, and because occasionally I did something for someone else. And that's what Cain did. He set up his own qualifications for God to accept him on, and he demanded to be accepted, and God didn't have to. He didn't. Really, that's what you would call the other religion. Is where you demand that God accept you. Many things came out of Genesis, the first few chapters. And, there's one thing I wanted to know here. In the church that Jean and I were in at one time, many supernatural things happened there. And a lot of wildness seemed to go on. There were prophecies that were totally unscriptural in their content. Such things as, if you'll just praise the Lord, all the demons will leave you. And everybody in the church claps and hollers. Right, everything that goes on in the church that is supernatural is not of God. So how are you going to find out what is? Well, I can tell you, the more of self there is in you, the less you will be able to recognize the supernatural that's from God. And the more likely you will be to accept everything, because that's what I did. And that's what my friends did. Woman's lib was born in Genesis. Woman's lib is totally selfish. We weren't told why Eve listened to the serpent, but from what he said to her, we know some of her reasons. He said, you can be like God. You can be wise. You can know good from evil. You know, Eve didn't know any evil, so how in the world find the world would she want to know? All right, there must have been some little problem that caused her to feel rejected enough to want to be more or better or different from what she was. And so she submitted to the suggestions that Satan gave her, and she got all the stuff she wanted. Adam also then submitted to Eve. You notice in the Bible it says Eve ate and she gave to Adam, and he ate, and then the fireworks happened. So when Adam submitted himself to Eve, and Eve submitted herself to the devil in that animal, we had the beginning of Jezebel and Ahab. First thing they did was try to hide from God. You know, I used to, oftentimes, when I did something I knew I shouldn't do or thought in such a way as I shouldn't think, I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to talk to God. Adam did as all he had to do. Look at his attributes. And all of these are self. Realizing to some degree their condition, They didn't want to face God. So fear of facing up to truth or to God comes in. Then he blamed everything on Eve. Ahabs are still doing that. They're looking for someone else to take over their responsibility. All right, but here comes Eve. Look what she did. She did as Jezebels always do when they find out that their actions have goofed and backfired. She blamed it on somebody else. And you know, it didn't get them out of the trouble, did it? It gave us those gifts today. I believe that every woman has the problem, big or small, with Jezebel. And I believe that every man has to come to grips with Ahab. And see, because of their actions, we have these little gifts handed to us. We had disobedience and rebellion, love of self, desire to be like or equal to God, lying, making excuses, blaming others for our failure, Jezebel's challenging men in their position, the fear of facing God in truth and attempting to hide things, realization of evil, loss of possession and position, sadness, cursed and sentenced to backbreaking work, grief, death, pall, thistles, and thorns, the ground is cursed, grief and suffering in pregnancy and childbirth, beginning of the false religion. Men and wife, no longer one, but separate individuals. When Eve had Cain, do you know what she said? She said, I have gotten a son. She didn't say, we have gotten a son. The first baby was evil. Women desire and cravings will be to their husband, and he will rule over her. We, like Cain, are still trying to get God to accept us without obeying his word. You know, the sentences that fell on them are still on us. And if we don't want to stay under those bondages, we have to obey. We have to live by biblical principles. The things that Adam and Eve did and gave, the gifts they gave us, don't just melt away like magic the day you got saved. If you noticed, it seemed like things got worse. You know, I got saved and I was the worst kid the next week I had ever been. I was so bad the next week that it prompted my daddy to give me a lecture. And he told me, if you can't live your Christian life here in this house, I'm not sure you've got it. And that's always been some of the way I've judged myself. Is if it didn't work in my house, it didn't work out of my house. Here are some of the ways that as parents we really mess up. Like, and teach our children selfishness. Now, it was taught to us probably the same way. We start out with the little children right before Christmas, and we start saying to them, honey, what would you like for Christmas? What would you like Santa Claus to bring you? How many of you are guilty? What did you do to your child when you asked him that? You turned his look inside, and he starts thinking, what do I want? I. Me. But we don't stop just with asking it once. We ask it often and frequently. And we get this child so turned in on himself that he can give us a list a mile long. And he wants it all. When I was teaching school this last time, I taught first graders. First graders are so open, and they are so real. And they would come back to school after Christmas. They didn't want to sit down. They didn't want to see their book. And they did not want to get regimented anymore. I mean, nobody wants to sit down for a half an hour and study math. And so we would have to pray and bind these spirits of idolatry. We prayed and bound self-centeredness, and nothing happened. Now one day my assistant said to me, why don't we bind self-idolatry and idolatry? So the next morning when we were all praying, why, I just took authority over those things and bound them, and we had a little bit of improvement. But we prayed and asked the Lord, what else can we do? And he says, you need to take scriptures from the Bible and teach it to them. So the first one we took is, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and easy to be entreated. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. And we began to win back some ground. But because we could not cast the demons out of the children, what good would it do? They'd go home to the same thing. It was real slow, and it took 6 weeks to 2 months to get it back in order. When children get centered on themselves, or we get centered on ourselves, we get very narrow visioned. And so studying is not what we really want to do, or teaching the children scriptural things is not what we really want to do. As a parent, you should have the good sense to know what toys your child should have and what he shouldn't have. And you should have the strength of character to say, no, you cannot have that, and these are the reasons why. When they say everyone else has it or does it, you have a tremendous teaching opportunity. If you don't have any sound convictions or Christian principles, you'll get all flustered, and you'll get upset with the child, and you'll miss the opportunity to teach. And because you don't have those principles, and because you don't have those convictions, the child will not have confidence in what you do say. And we don't just wait for Christmas or holiday or birthday to turn him inward. I have a lot of friends who ask their children when they get ready to make supper, what would you like for supper tonight? If you have 3 children, you're going to have 3 suppers to make. So why don't you take, in my household, I made that mistake one night. We had to have pizza and chili, and then I had to make supper for Gene and me. And I decided that was enough of that. And I decided I would make the meals, and those that didn't want them didn't have to eat them. They wouldn't get anything else till the next one. And when they're hungry, they'll eat. What about clothes? How many of you parents are dressing your young people in clothes you can't stand? You can look at those clothes and you know that they are demonically styled, or produced, or sold. Okay, if you're the parent and you're paying the bill, what rights do you have? Most of us don't have any because we long since gave them up, right? But as long as you're paying the bill, you have not only the responsibility but the privilege of teaching and guiding and paying for those clothes. When our girl was growing up, she wore what her daddy said was okay. If you're a young person and you're paying your own bills and you're supporting yourself, you can do what you please. If your choice is wrong, then God will deal with you. I think it was healthier and happier when parents told children what to do and why it was best to do that. Our daughter told us recently, she said, I am so glad that you had some rules in the household. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. And we don't do other things. That is just not done in this household. And she said she was very grateful for it. She said she used to get angry when her daddy would say, this is not the way it's going to be. And he would explain to her why, and then he would destroy the object. Or he would whatever was necessary. You know, a lot of the things you allow your children to do are based in your own motives of selfishness. You know, the Lord is not looking at what we do. You know, he wasn't looking at what I was doing with all those other children. He was not impressed. You know where he was looking? At the thought, the intent, and the motive of my heart. As parents, we need to get the strength to read the Bible. As long as we have demons of self, we probably won't be too concerned about reading the Bible. And if anything interferes with reading the Bible, we won't insist. Years ago, when I'd sit down to read my Bible, I'd think of the wash, the ironing, the supper, whole bunch of things, and I'd get up and leave it. Then I learned that's not the way you do it. If I sit down to read my Bible and the demons want to interfere, or thoughts want to interfere, I get up and read it out loud, walking around the house. And I tell the demons sometimes, I'm glad you've come, because I want to read this to you. They leave immediately. They don't want to hear you read the Bible. You want to get rid of demons? If you want to change things in your household, it's going to require a lot. If you're a mom and a dad and you come here and you begin to see a better way of doing things, and you go home, or the children are here with you, and you go home and you start trying to make changes, those children are going to give you migraine headaches. You know, they're not going to want to do what you have suggested at all. And, you know, they're kind of within their rights to do that, because we trained them the other way. Another thing we noticed when we started getting our household back in order, I'd argue with Marie, I'd talk with her, I'd try to convince her, and then I'd bring my argument to a higher authority. I told Gene about it, and he would take care of it. You know what he usually did? He told Marie, he said, I want you to read Proverbs. I want you to just read a few verses at a time, and then we're going to talk about it. I think it was one of the best things he ever did for Marie. If fathers won't take the time to communicate with their children by using the Bible and using life today, I don't think there's much hope for children. Because mamas, they have a duty to teach. The Bible says don't forsake the law of your mother. That means your mother's got to have a standard and a law and a way of teaching you and a way of conducting her own life that would draw you to the Lord. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 1 through 12, I've read that many times, and Gene has too. In fact, the first time he obeyed it, he had a fight with me. He was going around putting signs on everything. He had them on the doors. He had them on the bumpers of the car. And I said, why are you doing that? Why do we have to have "In God We Trust" on the front door? "Jesus Christ is Lord" on the mailbox. Why do we have to do all this? And he said, I said, if you're a Christian, it ought to show you ought not to have signs. Have you ever said that or heard that? Well, in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 12, it tells you to post them on your door corners, on the corners of your property. What? The words of the Lord. And from the way it reads, I think it's talking to the papas. How many of you daddies would give up your football to do that? Or the baseball game? And how many mothers, when you see your husband doing it, and he's doing it, in your opinion, very sloppily, will you still support him and get behind him and do what you should do? I think we'll read verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. Now, Jim had "Jesus Christ is Lord" on the back of my car. And every time I went 56 miles an hour, or at that time I think it was 65, through town, I think, boy, I hope nobody sees me that knows me. You know, it makes you more conscious. You have yourself labeled as a Christian. It's a little embarrassing to get caught going 65 miles an hour on the freeway when the speed is 50. Well, let's start with 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, and with your entire being, and with all of your might. And these words which I have commanded you this day shall be first in your own heart, mind. Then you shall whet, listen to this, daddies, if you've been thinking you'll let the children decide for themselves and you don't want to teach them anything, listen to this. You shall whet and sharpen them. And I can remember my grandpa whetting his thing up to sharpen his knives and stuff. It took some strength when he was doing that. You shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house. How many of you have sat in your house and talked with your children about growth in the Lord? And when you walk, by the way, you go take a walk. And when you lie down and when you rise up. Now, I can tell you very honestly, I believe that if we had not begun to let God correct all this selfishness that was in us, and my husband was a very selfish man when I married him, and I was selfish, and if we had not let him teach us and begin to obey, I don't believe there would be a Moody family today. And I'm not even sure there would be three Moody's left anywhere, because our family was on the way to destruction. It wasn't very far from destruction. How many of you believe you need a little work done in this area? Only four people. The rest of you can go home. You know, I've always hoped that God would let me stand up sometime and just tell y'all something, great revelation. I've always wanted to do that. And you know what happens instead? This. I have to get up and tell how horribly ornery I was and how far from the Lord I was when I thought I was great. And preacher said I was. Said he wanted a church full of people like me. And you know what I thought at that time? I knew something was wrong in our family. And you know what my reaction was? It's all Gene's fault. And from then on, for 2 years, it was on earth in our house. And now we're spirit-filled creatures. Gene sitting on the pulpit in the church. And everything at home is a mess. So I look back now from reading the Bible, I know that God was not impressed by anything we did during that time. He was only impressed when we started straightening up what was wrong inside of us. And you know, for most, I can say, this is my personal opinion. I think every person in this room is like me. They were very selfish, are very selfish, or have been. And even today, I catch myself saying, you know, I really don't want to go up to Lake Hamilton. I've got to get all these clothes washed and ironed, and it's so much trouble. And the devil just tries to beat me up. And then the Lord convicts me. If you are ashamed of me before man, then I'll be ashamed of you. You pray, Earlene, and see how far you get. Doesn't it impress you in the Bible that we pray and God and Jesus go along to the Lord with it, to the Father? And he says he ain't going to talk to him about us. So I get up from there and I say, no, you're not, you selfish thing. You lazy thing. You're not coming back in me. And just to prove it, I'm going to wash all the dirty clothes and pack them all. You see, after you get delivered, this is also a lot to do with how to maintain your deliverance. After you get deliverance, what have you got to do? You've got to take the principles that are in the Bible that God has set up as his principles, and you have got to do them. They have to be your principles.
Amen.
And if you don't take those principles and you don't make yourself do them, and you will have to make yourself. And my biggest, baddest thing was getting even, retaliation. Right after I got delivered, there wasn't a human creature on earth that I knew that didn't do me dirt. And every time I opened the Bible, on every page in every book was that section. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus saith the Lord. And I'd say, yeah, Lord, right after I get done with this one, you know. And I couldn't escape it. I couldn't escape it. I would tell Gene, this is horrible, Gene. God is saying such hard things. You know what they said. They said we were chasing demons. They said we were all far gone off. And Gene says, you don't have to defend yourself. But that demon wanted back in. And he'd come to me and he'd say, you need to tell them. You need to straighten that out over here. And I'd tell Gene about it and he'd say, no, let God do it. and I'd get mad at Gene. I'd be mad at God because he said that on every page, in every chapter of every book. And then I'd be mad at Gene because he agreed with God. And I took vengeance for a while, even after I was delivered. I still would do that. But God kept, every time I opened the Bible, it was there. If it didn't say, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord, it says. When God starts taking care of your enemy, don't you go smirking, because God will quit. That's Moody translation, but that's in there. Don't you go get holy about it, because God will quit what he's doing. Now, there are some curses on us that may be associated with this. You know, there's a curse in the Bible that says, for idol worship, how many generations? Three or four. And I am convinced that if you harbor self in the wrong way, you've got a demon of idol worship. The Lord so convicted me of this one time. I was standing in the church where we were going, and I was just praising the Lord and thinking, oh, you know, I'm so free and I'm so holy. I'm doing such a great job of all this worship, you know, and I could jump up and down and I could do a whole bunch of other things I'd never done before. And the Lord reminded me that he couldn't sit on that same throne with me. It wasn't big enough. You know, God has a way of bringing you down and telling you what you need to be told. So we're going to break curses and we're going to repent. How many of you want to repent? Okay, well, let's do it then. You can add your own into it whenever you get ready. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we break the curse of idol worship. And especially self-worship. The Bible says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So we break the curse of witchcraft. Father, I ask you to forgive me for setting me up as the God of my life. For making my wants more important than your desires. Dear Father, I ask you to give me understanding of myself. Help me to see how I have become an idol unto myself. I repent for being selfish and of always looking out for me and for always wanting the best for me. I'm also ashamed, Lord, to see how I've talked selfishness to my children. Please forgive me for all my selfish acts and thoughts. The way I have tried to manipulate others for my own desires. The way I even tried to serve you to bring honor to me. Lord, please cleanse me and instruct me in your way. And this is what I wanted the men to... I want to talk about making a vow. If you make a vow before God, be sure you pay it. But, so only the fathers who want to do this and feel that they really will try to do it should do it. And the fathers, this is your vow. I will apply myself to study the Bible and incorporate biblical principles into my life. And I will teach them with tender care to my children. I will not berate nor harass my wife or children as they learn. Okay, mamas? Now, when I say it, if you don't mean it, don't say it. I will also apply myself to the study of biblical principles and live them and teach them to the children. I will not belittle or disrespect my husband as he leads us.
Praise God. Take a good stretch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. I said a big amen to what Earlene said. I agree with her, and I was guilty too. Okay. Why don't you sit down. Now, I'm going to take you through basic deliverance. I'm going to take you through three different lists of spirits, bad habits of thinking and reacting, self, and what's that other one I'm going to take you through? Ingratitude. And I'm going to take you through some verses in the Bible. If we happen to miss something you didn't repent about, and it comes across your mind, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, then I want you to repent. If you don't repent, then the chances are good I won't be able to get rid of the demons. Now here, again, I like for the workers to get up and circulate around quietly. I'll get you some paper towels and just be ready to pray with the people, whoever seems to need help. Again, I tell you that I cast the demons out in the name of Jesus. They come out of you. They're pneuma. They come out. They're air. Okay, so I don't want you praying. I don't want you praying in tongues. I don't want you chanting the name of Jesus or anything else that sounds spiritual to you. I want you just to relax and just to leave the air passages open for the demons to come out. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against spirits of rejection. Come out right now, spirits of rejection. Fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception in lust, rejection by the mother, rejection by the father, rejection by brothers and sisters, rejection by Christian brothers and sisters, rejection by pastors in the fivefold ministry, all spirits of rejection, roots of rejection, ruler rejection, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection. We hate rejection. We hate everything that God hates. We hate all sin and iniquity. We hate you, Satan. We hate all demons and everything that they have done to us. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I remind you, demons, that you will be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master, Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. You have very little time left. I command you to bow your knee to Jesus Christ, do what he's telling you to do, and go where he's telling you to go. Now, come out of people in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we just ask you, send your angels down with a sharp two-edged sword, capable of dividing spirit and soul asunder. Cut out the roots of these demons. If they won't leave, put a hook in their jaw and pull them out in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll light a fire into them 10 times hotter than hell and stir them up in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them see their future punishment in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of the people right now. Those spirits of rejection. Lord, I just ask you, loose your spirits of love upon the people. And let them see how much they're loved, Father, and how much you love them. And how much, Lord, just let your Holy Spirit deal with them. Lord, send your spirits of love. And we use love against rejection. We use love to war against rejection. Now come out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We are not rejected. We are loved. God loves us. We love ourselves. Our husband and wives love us. Now come out. Our children love us. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All this rejection. That's right. Come on out right now. All that rejection. The whole family of rejection. All roots, memories, scarness, and habits, ruler demons and lesser demons. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. I want all of that rejection. We are not rejected. We are loved. Now go in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. We have total power and authority over you, and we exercise it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go. All this rejection, our people must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, spirits of bitterness. I call it spirits of bitterness, ruler of bitterness, root of bitterness. I command you to go. The bitter gall, the bitter taste in their mouth, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. All bitterness, all resentment, hatred, unforgiveness. Come out, all unforgiveness, brothers. We have forgiven those who've hurt us, demon. If the Holy Spirit shows us, we will forgive them. We will forgive them. Now, come out. We want all the bitterness in Jesus' name.
Deliver by to uncross their legs.
Okay. Okay, uncross your legs. Cross legs is a sign of witchcraft. So keep your legs uncrossed. Okay, now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Spirits of bitterness, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now, come out right now. Loose the people and set them free in Jesus' name. All unforgiveness. Come on, spirits of hatred. The Bible says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Now come out right now. We have no right to have any resentment or hatred or unforgiveness for anyone. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go right now. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. All this bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Let not the sun set on your anger and give place to the devil. Now come out. Spirits of anger, violence, temper, anger, retaliation, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go right now. Temper tantrums, come out. Spirits of temper tantrums and fits and so forth, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All these violent spirits, spirits of violent spirits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Go right now. Come out, every spirit of murder, suicide, death, abortion. Come out, death. Come out, the killer spirit. The killer spirit, the murder spirit, death, suicide, self-suicide, self-destruction. Come out, spirits of destruction and self-destruction. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go, destruction and self-destruction. Murder, suicide, death, come out. Death, agreement with abortion, come out of men. Any agreement with abortion, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go right now. Loose them and set them free. I want the whole family of bitterness to go in Jesus' name. The whole family of bitterness, come out in Jesus' name. That's right. Every bit of bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go. Loose them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. We bind your power. We drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose the power of God against you. We loose the angels against you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for sending your angels to help us. I thank you, Lord, that they are surrounding us and protecting us and helping us and warring with us, Father. Now come out, all bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness must go. You have no choice. You will go. We are not bitter. We are forgiven. We are a forgiven people. As Christians, we have no right to unforgiveness. We will forgive everyone that has hurt us with no exceptions, no matter what they did to us. Now come out, any spirits of hurts and deep hurts. Come out, any spirits of hurts and deep hurts. Those deep, penetrating hurts, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Those deep, penetrating hurts, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free. Come out. No matter who has hurt us, we release it in the name of Jesus Christ. We release those who have sinned against us. We release them from their sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. We bind your power. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. We break that curse of rebellion and witchcraft on us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out, those rebellious spirits, the ruler demon of rebellion, the roots of rebellion. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go. I want all that rebellion to go in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose them and set them free. Come out, every spirit of self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry. Come out. What Earlene's been teaching about, that self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry, I command you to go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.